Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams,
and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
I would like for you to first turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we will be reading verses 1 and 2. This is the central passage in our current series, Authentic Worship. And it reads by the Apostle Paul in this great epistle to the Romans, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of our great God." And all God's people said,
amen.
Please turn now to the book of 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, and we will be there beginning in verse 10. I say as I speak here from the pulpit today, grace and peace be multiplied unto each and every one here today in the knowledge and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are visiting here today, if you are watching on the internet, if you are watching a DVD or listening to an audio CD later, we want you to know that we are not here to try to trick you into anything. We want to state categorically that it is our goal, it is our single-minded focus to glorify God and for you to come, if you have not already done so, into a position where you have asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. I shared something that I had written in my Bible with the midweek service this week. I'd like to share it with you as I begin. Deep within the heart of the pastor, there must live an absolute commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that Christ came and died for our sins. Regardless of the culture of today, the pastor, the church, must be convicted deep in their hearts that faith in Christ alone is the one and only way to salvation.
Amen.
From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible speaks with the same voice, never changing, never modifying. Simply put, there is not one drop of saving grace outside the one who hung on the cross at Calvary and shed His blood for our salvation. To be wrong in this is to be wrong everywhere. To be wrong here violates the mission of Christ. To be wrong here conflicts and contradicts the meaning of the substitutionary bodily death and sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To be wrong here diverts souls from the only way that leads to God. To be wrong here fills the wide path to hell. We simply cannot be wrong here. The very essence of the gospel demands that it be exclusive. The Bible has a zero tolerance policy for any equivocation in this single-minded message. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Period. End of statement. End of discussion. Modern society, of course, hates the very idea. We find ourselves in a postmodern age in which society declares that there are no absolute truths. But we do know that the Bible says, Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." Society may declare that there are many roads to God, but Christ Himself declares, "I am the only road." The gospel message that does not present Jesus as the only way is not the gospel message of Jesus Christ. There simply is no other way to God. So as I take this pulpit, as I take this holy special sanctified place that God has allowed me to occupy, I want you to know that the gospel is not subject to who is present. The gospel is not subject to my ideas. The gospel is not subject to the culture of our day. The gospel is first, last, and always to be declared in strength and power, and blessed be the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
God spoke everything into being. Created in His image, Scripture says that in the creation week, we were the only thing that God actually touched with His hands and formed. We are the only thing that God bent down and personally breathed life into our nostrils. When Adam opened his eyes, the first thing that he ever saw was the Lord God. He looked into the face of God, and when he arose, he quite literally took God's breath away with him as he arose and walked. Never forget how valuable you are to God. You are created in His image. The angels, as majestic as they are not created in the image of God. So, authentic worship takes place. Listen closely. Authentic worship takes place when we open our hearts, we open our mouths, and in praise to our great God, we breathe back to Him what He gave us in the beginning. He breathed life into us. It is His, created in His image from Him. So in today's message, let us magnify God in our true worship. Most of this series has been a teaching series, which is it well should be. But today we're going to brag on God. Today we're going to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never seen a cheerleader like you've seen up here. I promise not to do any splits or anything like that. I would never get back up. And so if you would have turned to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10, if you are there, please say amen. All over the sanctuary, if you have the Word of God in your hands, whether in digital or paper form, please hold it up over your heads, all over the sanctuary. Amen. It is so good to have the Word of God in our hands. He allows us to have this with us. What a great and wonderful thing. Today's message is authentic worship magnifies God. But let me quickly clarify that. When I say authentic worship magnifies God, I am certainly not saying that God needs any magnification. He does not. And with that in our minds, let us look at the Word of God. It will be in your Bibles only this week. It will not be on the screens. And that is why we ask that each person have their Bible with them. Reading from the Word of God, the subtitle here in the text, if you have a New King James Bible, says, David's Praise to God. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Isn't that good? Now, therefore, when we see that word therefore, what do we ask, church? What is it therefore? Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, Lord? Have you ever heard that in a song? Who am I, Lord? And who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own hand we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. Listen closely to verse 16. O Lord, our God, that word there is Yahweh Elohim, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. May the Lord add His blessings upon His Word. We are here to magnify God. Last week, we kicked off of our new location offering, and we had a wonderful offering. But we had literally about half of our church not here. Everyone squeezing in the last parts of their vacation and things like that. And while the offering was great, and while that particular offering exceeded our regular tithes and worship offering, we want everyone to have a chance to give to that new location fund. So today when the offering comes around, write out your regular tithes and offerings, pray about this during today's service, and then over and above, write another check or just make a note on your check, this much I would like to go to the new location offering. And when I say I want you to pray about this, I want you to pray about what you can sacrificially give. It's that you pray and say, Lord, ooh, here you go. Because it is out of His abundance that we are able to give. All that we give back has come from Him to begin with. Amen? And so, as I said before, we are not here to because God needs any magnification. He does not. God is completely sufficient. He's self-sufficient, and He needs nothing from any of us. There is none like Him, and He is beyond compare. Friends, there are not enough superlatives in the spoken or written language to overstate who and what God is. So let us put aside any notion that somehow God needs our help or that God requires our praise and worship so that He feels better about Himself. He is God and there is none like Him. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He is God and there is none like Him. His ways are not our ways. He is God and there is none like Him. And since He is omniscient, the omnipotent, omnipresent, King of kings, the Lord of lords, needing nothing, requiring nothing, the infinite, the eternal, while looking at essentially nothing, He created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. And since the book of 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, what did I just say? God is light. It is one of the attributes of God. It's not something that He has. It is something that He is. I've said so very many times as I spoke about this. When God said, let there be light, the actual inference is that light in me be. When God looked at the creation and He said, let there be light, never forget that He was looking at nothing. He was looking at darkness. Let there be light. He is God and there is none like Him. He created every creature that flies, crawls, swims, runs, or walks. He is God and there is none like Him. He created all that there is and then capped it off by creating us in His image. There was no diminishing of His strength. He did this without the slightest loss of anything that He is. There was no lessening of His power. He did it in 6 days because, quite frankly, He wasn't in a big hurry. He could have done it in a second. Then He rested on the seventh day. Not because He was tired, not because He needed a break. No, God rested in order to observe that it was very good and to reflect on Himself and to reflect on His works and to reflect on His mighty hand and outstretched arm because He is the Lord God and there is none other like Him. I thought I might get a witness there. I'm glad I brought my own today. I could continue with these thoughts for the rest of my life and never come close to touching what and who God is. Because He is the Lord God and there is none other like Him. Let us just set aside any silly notion that God needs us in order to magnify Himself. Know what I mean and what today is all about, Christians, is that authentic worship makes God the focal point of all that we do. Are you a student in school? Then you magnify God by being the greatest student in that school. Are you a ditch digger? Then you be the best ditch digger on the planet for the glory of God and to magnify Him. Do you sing on the praise team? Then you sing to the glory of God. And you draw the attention to God and you magnify Him. Do you work upon the PowerPoint in the back? Then you magnify God by doing the PowerPoint better than anyone that's ever done this in this church has ever done it. You magnify God in your life. Do you work in a job that you don't care for? Make that job something that you care about by magnifying God through your service and your job. That is authentic worship. We are to magnify Him when we pray. When we sing, we are to magnify Him. He has raised up His Son from the dead so that at the great name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of who? To God the Father. And why? Because He is Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, and there is none other like Him. We read this great verse today, and we wonder what set David off. What caused this great praise that he has here? You see, David loved God. He had his issues. He had his failings. Can I have a witness on that one? We all have our own failings. Amen? But God loves us and He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And there is nothing that you have done that has ever set you so far away that Christ cannot still save you. He loves you that much. If you're a Christian, you have not failed in such a way that you cannot repent and turn from your sins and ask God to forgive you, and He will welcome you back and love you with all of His heart, with His great heart of God. So King David wanted to build God's house. He wanted to build Him a house beyond compare that would last forever. And God said, no, David, you are a man of war. He says that in chapter 28, verse 3. There is blood on your hands, David. It will not be you that will build my house, but it will be your son, Solomon. That's in verse 28, verse 6. So David is beside himself. You sense the turmoil in his heart. And so David asked if he can have the enormous honor. Go with me here, church. Keep this biblical. If he could have the enormous honor of giving of his wealth to God. After all, where did this wealth come from? It came from God Himself. David says, Lord, can I and your people please give of our treasure in order to build your house? Will you allow us to do that, God? And God says yes, and David and the people are thrilled at the opportunity to give. And I say today we should have that same feeling. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, where's that at? I want to hear this in Scripture. I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 9 in our passage today. I started you at 10 on purpose. Look at verse 9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly. Let me just say quickly, I can't badger you into giving, and I'm not going to do it. Now, you guys know Pastor Larry. I don't usually go down this road. I allow the Lord to speak to your heart, but we are starting a great venture to get into a place that is our place of our own. And to do that, we're going to need to give. And you're going to need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I brought that out in the front of this. I'm not looking to steal people from another church. I'm not looking to gather up Christians that are disgruntled somewhere else. I want the people of Living Hope Church to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to win souls to Christ, and then when they come in here, God will build His church. Not Pastor Larry's church, not your church, it is God's church. And so verse 9, then the people rejoiced, for they had offered, what does it say there? Willingly. Because with a loyal heart, they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Greatly. It was a time of rejoicing. It was a time of praising our great God. Now finally, you're probably looking at your watch going, good Lord, we're going to be here all day. Friends, I have the gift of preaching about 6 hours today. I'm not quite sure you have the gift of listening more than 35 or 40 minutes. But now we come to our points for today, and we'll move quickly through them. Verse 10 again. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. What does that say? He blessed the Lord, meaning that he worshipped, he honored, he adored, he rendered praise and glory unto the Lord. That's what it means when he blessed the Lord. It blesses God's heart when we approach him in praise and worship properly. Where did he do this? Look at that. He blessed the Lord before all of the assembly. Christians, Living Hope Church, don't be shy about bowing before your great God wherever the Spirit calls you to do that. And as we, that bowing, that blessing of the Lord, that rendering praise to God, is when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone. That blesses God's heart. You want to bless God's heart? Share the gospel. You want to bless God's heart? Acknowledge Him before the assembly. You want to bless God's heart? Acknowledge Him in our culture. You want to bless God's heart? And one of the things that I never do is address politics from the pulpit. But when you vote, you have a godly duty to take whoever the candidate is, hold this up to their face, and see what gets reflected back, and vote for that person. Amen? Let's try it again. Amen? Amen. I don't care what the political party. Frankly, I didn't see revival breaking out when the Republicans were in the majority. I didn't see it when Democrats were in the majority. If it's going to happen in this country, it's going to have to be the Christians that say, that's enough. We are going to render praise and honor and glory to our great God. Why? Because He is the Lord God and there is none other. It doesn't matter if you're the president. It doesn't matter if you're the Speaker of the House. It doesn't matter if you're the majority leader in the United States Senate. It doesn't matter if you're one of those positions in the state and local government. He is the Lord God, and there is none other. You get all the power that you have because God, Romans 13 says, has allowed you to serve where you are. Don't ever forget, Mr. President, don't ever forget, Mr. Speaker of the House, don't ever forget, Mr. Majority Leader, that He is the Lord God and He puts you where you are at. Went right off my notes, I'm sorry. We are to render adoration. It's expected to be rendered to God. So we come to our first point. And everybody, all God's people said? Yes. First, authentic worship magnifies His majesty. It magnifies His majesty. Look at verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the what? The majesty. It says greatness. Our God is a great God. There is none greater than Him because He is the Lord God and there is none other. Who has more power than God? There is no one. Who created the universe out of nothing? Our great God. Is there anything too difficult for God? There is nothing too difficult for our God. Are you having trouble in your life? Bow before the Lord. Render praise unto the Lord. Honor Him. Bless God's heart and see what He will do in your life. He may not pay your bills. He may not give you a bunch of money, but I tell you what He will do. He will give you peace in your heart because you will know that you are living through whatever you are living through under the eyes of a watchful God that loves you. And He is allowed in His permissive will for whatever you are going through to happen. And when you can do that, and still say, He is my Lord God, and there is none other like Him, the little frailties of this life will pass you by, and you simply will not care. It's silly to try, but it's silly to compare God's majesty to anything. Amen? Take the most majestic animal. Take the highest earthly king. The solar system that we live in. The universe that He created. With no diminishing of Himself. How does the Lord's Prayer end? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory of heaven forever and ever. Amen. Friends, there is no majesty anywhere to compare with the Lord. Why? Because He is the Lord God and there is none other. Are you beginning to get the drift of my point this morning? Live your life that way. Magnify God because He is the Lord God and there is none other to compare with Him. So magnify our majestic God. Do you have a passion to sing? Then sing for the Lord, as I said before. Do you have a passion to help people that need help? Everybody could use a help up sometime. then do it for the glory and worship the majesty of God. When I come here each week, the praise team can tell you, the sound guys can tell you, the greeters can tell you, I'm pretty focused. You could do anything here, and I would never pick it up, probably. Including somebody walking around the sanctuary with a 3-foot-tall birthday card for me, signing it. Missed it completely. I'm pretty focused on Sunday mornings. But I come here this morning on Sunday mornings, and I feel that if I don't come here and magnify my majestic God, then the fire in my heart will simply consume me. It'll burn me up into cinders. So may I ask, what ignites your heart? What burns deep in your soul? Praise God with that fire. If you had the fire to be a worship leader, then you let the fire consume you. This pastor will never hold you back. If you have a fire in your heart to be in children's ministry, then you do it before that fire consumes your heart. Whatever you do it for the glory of God. And all God's people said, not only does authentic worship magnify His majesty, authentic worship magnifies His might. Verse 12, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Turn quickly to Romans chapter 11, verse 26. Pastor, wasn't I just over there? Yes, it's the verse before the verses we read at the start of this message today. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. If you're there, say amen. What does it say? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, be glory forever. Everything is rendered unto our great God. Everything is rendered, all power is given to our great God. How powerful is God? Let's set aside any earthly ideas about what power and might that we have, that He has. Amen? I just went through it all, the creation. I went through the universe. I went through all the things that God has done. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I sense some of you wandering. You want to look up here. You don't want to miss this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says that for the Christian, one day we will be just like Jesus. One day we will be just like Jesus. First time I read that, I said, really? There's days I don't like me. There's days when I deal with some Christians, I'm wondering if I'll recognize them in heaven. I wonder if they'll recognize me some days. Amen? Thank you for not saying that real loud. I, for one, know what and whom I really am. But Scripture is absolutely inerrant. It is without the slightest trace of error. There is no mistake in Scripture. It is perfectly accurate. So what does that mean? I'll be just like Jesus. In that passage, God says that one day, when you arrive in heaven, something wonderful will take place. A transformation will happen. The angels will gasp in amazement. God's work in you will be completed, and His true might will be shown. Created originally in His image, returned finally to His presence, you will be God's magnum opus. You will be. Can you imagine? You will love with a perfect love. You will worship with pureness of thoughts and no distraction during the time of worship in heaven. You will hear each word that God speaks to your heart, and you will hear it clearly. And at last, you will have a heart just like Jesus. How can this possibly be? Where did the power that comes from that come from that worked this miracle? It's through the power of the cross of Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a song out there right now, a very simple song. I've asked our praise team to take a look at it for times of invitation and special times. But it's called about the power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. It doesn't matter what chain you have in your life. You may have the chain of alcoholism. It doesn't matter. God can break that chain. You may have the chain of dishonesty. God can break that chain. You may have the chain of not being a great father or a great mother. God can break that chain, but it's only through the power of the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. Not only does authentic worship magnify His majesty, not only does authentic worship magnify His might, authentic worship magnifies, you ready for this? His magnificence. Now that might be bad grammar, but it's awfully good theology. Look at this, verses 13 to 16. Now therefore, our God, we thank You and we praise Your glorious name. Verse 13 is saying we magnify God simply because we have simple gratefulness. Be grateful for what God has done for you. Be grateful for your salvation. Be grateful for the opportunities God has given you. You know what? If you've gone through a very tough time in a particular area of your life, look at what God has done that. Be grateful for that. Because a day is going to come when you're going to meet someone in church and you're going to look at them and they're going to say something and it's going to trigger your thoughts and you say, I know what you're talking about, my brother. Let me tell you how to get out of that. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what that thing is. So we need to be grateful to our great God for what He has done for us. Amen? Verse 14. But who am I? And who are my people? That we should be able to offer so willing as this, for all things come from You. And of Your own hand we have given You. Magnify God because of His great grace. Our God is a God full of grace. He dispenses grace for those that believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 15. For we are aliens and pilgrims before You. That word alien means we are totally alien in nature now because of sin to His nature. I thought I saw 6 or 7 little aliens running around on my patio yesterday. They are some happy kids, I can tell you that right now. But magnify God, because our nature is not like us, yet He made a way home for us through Christ Jesus. Magnify Him because of His great mercy. God pours out His mercy so that He can pour in His grace into your life. Before, friends, long before we need grace, we need His mercy, amen? Romans 3:20 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. 3:23, I'm sorry. 3:26 says what? The wages of sin are? Death. But God sent Christ in the fullness of time to die on the cross for our sins. So we magnify God because of His mercy. Verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build You a house for Your holy name is from Your hand. I just find that so amazing. We need to acknowledge that. The blessings that we have, the houses that we live in, came from God. It's not that we're giving God back something on Sunday that we earned of our own self. God allows us to have that. And it's all Your own. So we magnify God because of His generosity. Isn't God generous? Look at all that He has given us. Conclusion. Our final point today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 states that even if we are not faithful, God still is faithful. Even if we are not faithful, Jesus Christ is faithful for us. And so we magnify our great God. It won't be up on the screen. Just write it in your notes. Because of His mercy. Because of His mercy. Please remember that God's blessings are dispensed according to the riches of His grace. I'm going to say that again, just in case you missed me. God's blessings are dispensed according to the riches of His grace, not according to the depths of our faith. If you got that, say amen. All that He asks is that you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's how you get to heaven. There is no other way. I said it at the beginning. I'm going to say it again right now. John 14:6 says, they asked Jesus, well, how do we get there? Jesus says, I am the way. Meaning the only way. I am the truth. Listen to the truth of my statement. I am the life. You want to pass over from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ? You must go through Jesus Christ. It is the only way that you get to heaven. The Bible closes with these words. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I ask you today, are you ready for Jesus Christ to come? Because if He came back today, the only way that you're going to heaven, the only way is if you've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. And it's such a simple thing. All you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that He is the Son of God. Confess of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ and live for Him the rest of the days of your life. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to be wonderful. It does mean you'll be a work in progress and you will be in heaven someday. And so, I say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain. To break every chain. Why? Because He is the Lord God and there is none other like Him. And all God's children said,
amen.
Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.